Hallelujah. You know, what will be your testimony? You know, those of you who have been around for a while, you know the song by Carmen called Sunday's on Its Way. And the song starts, it talks about the people sitting around talking about how they knew God. Daniel said he knew him in the lion's den. Ezekiel knew him as a wheel within a wheel. But there was a stranger there, a newcomer, named Lazarus. He said, I knew him like none of you ever did. I saw when he preached the fire. I saw the compassion. See, all those other people, after Abraham, they only knew him according to the law. But when Jesus came, there was a relationship. There was something. How did you know Jesus? Did you know him as a dictator? As a man who reaped where he didn't sow? Or did you know him as the compassionate Lord? The meek, the humble, the merciful. Is that how you knew who he was? That's how I know him. Before, all I knew, until my own relationship with him, the only thing I knew was a vengeful, and in my opinion, sometimes an aggravating God. But when I put religion on the back burner, and I said, I want to know who you are. I'm here to tell you, religion is not even on the stove anymore. It's gone. Because there's a relationship. He's full of compassion. And I strive every day to be like him. Paul was a good man. Peter was a good man. John was a good man. I don't want to be like any of them. They fell short. I will fall short. But I would rather fall short reaching for this goal than this goal. Amen? Let's strive to know Jesus as Lazarus was describing him. I was there. I was there. I can say he is here. He's right here. Hallelujah. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Do not forget that it is war on the floor. If you have prayer requests at this point, you can give them to the usher in the back. We're going to pray. We have a lot of things to pray for today. We're coming. I will share some more things here in a little bit. But we've got an election coming up in 2 days. So let's bless the tithe and offering. Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, to be in your body. Father, we are grateful that you made the way that we could come back into a relationship with you, not know you through religion, condemnation, or any other means, Father, but that a relationship can be had. And Father, as part of that relationship, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. We call it blessed, because it is. Father, we bless it now. We present it to you. We thank you for the opportunity that we've had to make the money to be able to give you this offering. Receive it now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. Did I put that one in? So I had an exciting night the other night. What night was it? Is it Tuesday night? Or was it Sunday night? I think it was last Sunday night. I had an exciting night. I decided to finally go to bed, but by the time I got to bed, I woke up. Anybody ever do that? By the time you get to bed, you've checked all the doors and everything, you're wide awake. It's like, why didn't I just stay asleep on the couch? And so anyhow, I thought, well, I'm awake. I'm just going to sit here and watch some funny videos, people doing stupid things. And I'm laying there, I'm like, okay, finally. My eyes started getting heavy again, and I just laid my phone down, and I saw headlights. We only have one window in our room, and it's actually patio doors. So we have a 6-foot by 6-foot window, and it faces the road. But we're so far above it, the headlights don't shine into it, but we can see them go by. And I saw these headlights come, and they disappeared. They didn't go by. I didn't hear the vehicle. And y'all know me enough to know that, you know, the Marine in me kicked in. I jumped up, started snaking my way through the house, checking out the windows. I'm looking. And then I get around, and we've added a few windows to our house, so there's no hiding, really. And so I'm sneaking around, and I get to the kitchen, and I can see in my driveway, right behind Jesse's car, there's somebody's parked. Headlights are off. And I see a flashlight come out. Well, I grabbed my concealed carry, stuck it in my waistband, started coming around, got to the door, and I saw the person eye to eye on the other end. Sheriff's office! And I was like, oh, I could see it was the deputy. I'm like, well, why is he out here? What's going on? I mean, we've had a few exciting times out there, but apparently somebody had called 911 from our address. Here's a little helpful hint for you. Do not sleep on your phone. It wasn't me, though. It was not me. So, you know, we had a good talk. I had the time and said, you're going to have to wait a second. I've got my gun with me. He's like, hey, I'm not afraid of being shot by a former Marine. So I said, no, you're safe here. And we had a good talk. And he said, but I do need to check out the person who made the call. I said, all right. Went and woke that one up and said, quit sleeping on your phone. And anyhow, we got everything together. But I had to calm the dog down because he wanted to know whose voice he heard. And he was on his way and did not have his collar on. So you try to grab hold of a 80-pound dog that's solid muscle who wants to go see somebody. It's a little exciting. But, no, praise God. It took me another 2 hours to go to sleep, though, just so y'all know. I was so jacked up with adrenaline. I'm like, ugh. I just laid there. I said, oh, forget it. I'm going to go in and watch some more TV. praise God. Well, yes, we do. We have some, we're going to be praying about the election, about this country. We need to be always praying about our country, for our country. There's a lot of things we need to be praying about. One of the things coming up is, I'm just going to tell you straight up, not going to pull any punches on this, all the major cities, I do not encourage you to go to any major city if you do not have to this week. They are planning on violent riots, all of them. In the city of Columbus, I've already gotten word, they are not giving their police riot gear. They're sending them out just like they would be sitting at a desk. I think it's stupid, but that's what they're planning on doing. So I encourage you, if you do not have to go to a city, don't. Just stay away from them. But they have been, and there may be a possibility that in the state of Ohio, our votes may not get counted until December 10th. So just be prepared. Yeah. And the source I got that through, I cannot reveal it, but it's a pretty, pretty good source. But anyhow, just so you know. So don't be surprised. You can pray. The least you can do is pray. That's the number one thing you should be doing. before you go complaining, before you go whining, before you go doing anything about what's going on, pray. Man, the Bible says that one of us has a power to turn 1,000 of the enemy away. Two of us can put 10,000. Imagine what 60 of us can do. I mean, you need to understand these odds. This is like the American troops going into Iraq during Desert Storm. The enemy's given up because they know they can't beat Jesus. The same Jesus I'm trying to introduce you to get push. I'm trying to push you, folks. If you feel like you're being pushed, then I'm doing my job. I've heard one person say that in a pastor you get one of two people. You get a coach or you get a drill instructor. Well, I don't know anything about coaching. So get ready for some left, right, left. No. It's they have very similar similarities. They want you to become the best thing you can be. I don't want you to know Jesus just through the Bible. It's a great book, folks. It really is. But do you know how little we really care about this Bible? It's used as a decoration in many homes. I wasn't allowed to look at the family Bible at my grandmother's house. It's sitting on the coffee table. It was huge. And I loved looking at the pictures, especially Jonah. I mean, that picture was huge, and it's got him coming out of this great big catfish. The only one I've ever seen, it was a catfish, not a whale. Here's something else. We think so little of it, we swear on it. Well, that's the way it should be. If Jesus said, don't swear by heaven and earth, why do you think he's going to think about you swearing on his word? He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. I'm just telling you what the word says, not what religion has taught. If I tell you yes, then that's what it means. If I'm going to judge fairly, then that's what I'm going to judge. So help me God. I didn't have a Bible when I stood before that flag in a room with about 50 other guys. I just raised my hand and said, I will, up to and including my life, defend the Constitution of the United States of America. But we don't think a whole lot of the Word. But the Word actually will show us the character of God, who God is. But you know what shows it even better? Spending time with Him. In the last, let's see, I have to do the math how old I am now, in the last 40 years or so, I have heard message after message over things. Things, ladies and gentlemen. How to be successful with God. 10 steps to success with God. There's only one. You want the true step to success? Phil and I were talking about that this morning. What good does $100 million do me if my children don't know God? Oh, I can buy anything I want, but I can't buy their salvation. And that's the place where Job was at. He had all he wanted, but he feared for his children. I don't fear for my children. I know they're going to make mistakes. Anybody figured out you're making mistakes all the time? You know God's not holding them against you? He's trying his best to bring you around to show his character to you. And you know, when he's showing his character to us, that means we should be developing that character. I've watched all of my boys, and I'll pick up things that they do that I do, or see things that their mother does. There's even things that they do, they don't they aren't even realizing they do it, and they have no reason to do it. But because they've seen me do it, that's the way we should be with God. We should be picking up his character. I don't want the character of any preacher. I'm actually, in a lot of realms, I am rejected as a preacher because they can't put a muzzle on me. They can't control me. Oh, and I didn't go to seminary school. The things I teach you is because these are the things I learned. These are the things that I've gone through. I won't ask you to raise your hand if you've ever thought of killing somebody. I did. You can ask my wife. It was a rough time for me. By the way, I know a few of you in here have, just so you know. But I didn't, just put everybody at ease. Everybody at home, I have not. It doesn't mean that the thought didn't cross my mind. A lot of people have thought of it, especially when they hurt somebody you love. Okay? It wasn't somebody that cut me off in traffic. It was somebody hurting somebody I love. I've learned. I've grown from that day. From that point, I am not the same person. And I wouldn't be here today doing what I do if I had been the same person. But years ago, I told God, I want to know you. I want to know your character. I want to know who you are personally. So to do that meant I had to spend time with God. The Bible has got messages through it. All you can go in, we can look at David and the situation with Goliath, and we can talk about how to face your fears, how to face your giants, right? That's the number one message out of it. But most of the time we forget to know that David knew God. That's the only way he faced that fear. It wasn't he mustered all the self-motivation he could up inside him. He recalled the God of his father Abraham and said he was there. He helped me to bring down this bear, to bring down this lion. And this uncircumcised Cretan will have no glory today. Without the relationship, there is no victory. None. Well, look at how much I got. So what? It's got you. That's what you work for. That's what you worry about all the time. All the cars in the world will never fill the void. All the boats in the world will never fill the void. I am happier today and I am more blessed today. I've told you a couple weeks ago, I had a job when I came back. I started off at $18 an hour in 1995. It was a really good job. And when I got laid off, I was at $23 an hour. And I worked every bit of the overtime that I could get. I worked so much that I was usually in double time. Because of the contract, we could only work X amount of time and a half, and then it went to double. And there were times I did triple overtime, making 60-some dollars an hour. And I was getting further away from God, further away from my wife, further away from my calling. When I look back, I thank God that factory closed. That factory would have been my coffin. Not only for me, but for my family. God wanted me to know who He was. And I'd learned a little bit, and I had a little bit of success. Well, Pastor, it doesn't mean we're all going to face that problem. I can take you right now to a bunch of people who think that they're, because they got a few dollars, that they're good to go with God. But yet they can't maintain a relationship in their marriage. They're divorced twice, three, four times. Success, money, does not mean that you have arrived. Tried to get that message through to people years and years and years now. Just because you got some dinero don't mean you got the relationship. But the Bible tells us a few things. If we'll take the time to read it. If we'll take the time to hear what it's saying to us. And I realized this week, you know, one of the jokes around here is my rabbit trails. I mean, I go down rabbit trails like you wouldn't believe. And, you know, and there's been times I thought, man, maybe I should knuckle down and maybe I should just be a one-point focus. Do you know what I realized this week? I'm like Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount, 3 chapters of our Bible, starts off with the Beatitudes, which, by the way, is where we're going. He hit more rabbit trails than I ever have. And this is one message. And he sat down and started preaching. God said, you want to know me? You got to act like me. Well, I follow the greatest preacher that's ever walked this planet. He wasn't sitting up there with a tie and suit. More than likely, he was still in traveling clothes. In other words, he was comfortable. I like looking good, don't get me wrong. I prefer comfort. Angela come home and I'm laying there on the couch in my blue jeans and a t-shirt. And she says, why don't you go put some sweatpants or something on? I said, do you realize how comfortable I am? My jeans are comfortable. If they're uncomfortable and I refuse to wear them, then why have them, right? My jeans are comfortable. Especially when I actually got the right size. Come to discover I'm not a 30 waist anymore. I can breathe. But Jesus was more than likely sitting up there in something he'd been walking in for a couple miles. But his whole point, what was the number one reason for Jesus to come to begin with? To show you how to have money? To show you how to be healed? Delivered? No. His number one reason was to introduce you to his Father and make the connection for you. That was the number one reason. It wasn't so we could find all the joy that this earth has. And yes, you can have joy on this planet. You're allowed to be happy. Did you know that? You are allowed to be happy. Religion says you need to be sorrowful. Why? Why? Jesus said something pretty astounding one time. He says, why don't the religious came to him and said, why don't your disciples fast like we do? He said, oh, their day's coming. He said, but why do you mourn when you got the bridegroom with you? Guess what? I don't mourn. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He showed me his Father. He made the connection for me. He's my brother. His Father is now my Father. They adopted me. took me in and loved me through my brain cramp moments, applauded me in my victories. You know, that's what families are supposed to do. It's a sad thing that a father would think that his praise of his children would puff them up. You don't know God. The God I know, I can't tell you how many years I read the story of the prodigal son, but I remember the day I got it when he said, "That was me. I ran to you. You turned back from your ways and you took one step and I ran." See, that's what Jesus came for. The number one reason anybody should be preaching on this planet today is to introduce you to God. Not to build a worldwide ministry. Do you realize what would happen if each one of you took a little tidbit of what I said today and told one more person today? Do you realize what would happen? We would have a worldwide ministry. Why? I am going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you have a friend on Facebook, so you have to be on social media, who does not live in this country? There you have it. And I bet you they're not all the same countries. You sharing one bit of the gospel of Jesus Christ with these people, you now have ministered, sent the message around the world. The point Jesus sat down and started making with the Sermon on the Mount was to start talking to us about our character. Start showing us how to trust God. If you ain't figured it out, we are in times right now, you have got to trust God. Some of you, your health has been attacked. And I'm not even talking about the stupid COVID garbage. I call it garbage. It's what it is. I have no use for it. Same thing as the flu. It's garbage. The cold, it's garbage. I'm not denying that it's real. I'm saying it's garbage. Cancer is garbage. As you start to get to know who God is, the devil will attack. Trust me. But that's when you need to not rely on yourself, but rely on God. God wants you to have confidence. Don't get me wrong. We'll talk about that some other day. But he does not want you relying on you. I told you a couple weeks ago that I said, God showed me I will never win the Powerball. Yes, I have played it. For all those people think I'm going to hell for spending $2. Well, that's your children's inheritance. I don't play it unless it goes over $300 million. And if I would happen to get $20 back, then I have tripled my money. And by the way, I'd have blown that stupid $2 on a Coke or something else. So, by the way, gambling is not in the Bible. It's addictive and destructive. Just like smoking. Just like your coffee. Got quiet in this here Catholic church this morning. I drink coffee. I've had 2 cups this morning. Which might actually be, if you're in a restaurant, that might actually be 4 cups because they give you those teeny tiny cups. They look huge. You can't barely get your finger in them. And when they pour enough coffee in it, it's got about that actual much coffee because the cup is 3/4 of an inch thick. But God wants you to know who he is. So open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5. As I said, God is more interested in developing your character than he is making you wealthy. Than he is making you popular. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up to the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them this saying. Taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit means you realize that spiritually you are in poverty. That you are not self-sufficient spiritually. Everybody is searching for something spiritually. Okay? They're all looking. That's why nearly every cult, everything that leads people that are not serving God, there's a little nugget of truth in everything. There really is. There's a nugget of truth. And that's what they bite on. That's what gets them. They come in for that nugget of truth, but it's not real. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Those who mourn are those who have realized they are spiritually in poverty, they are spiritually weak, and that they are repenting and they are sorrowful for what they've done. If we do not repent and look upon what we've done, what we've been, and through the eyes of repentance, then we haven't repented. We're not sorry. I'm sorry for the things I've done. Sorry for the way I've treated some people. Unchecked, I can be a very, very bad person. I'm not the only one, just FYI. We all can. But I know me. And I know the things I've done. Things I've said to people and really, really hurt them. But I am comforted. I had a roommate when I was in Okinawa. And he was searching for something. He didn't know what it was. And I came in one day and he's reading a book on transcendental meditation. He was looking. I hadn't fully started into my downward spiral yet. I was testing the waters, as they say. And I walked in and I saw that and I began talking to him. He was concerned. This would have been after August 2nd, 1990, because August 2nd is when Saddam invaded Kuwait. So it was shortly after that, and he was concerned, he was worried, he was frightened. And I talked to him, and I ended up leading him to the Lord. Shortly after that, I started my spiral. He was there, saw my hypocrisy. And once I pulled out of the spiral, I said, Lord, I hurt him. Even though I didn't do anything to hurt him, I was trying to hurt me. I was medicating myself. I inadvertently hurt him as a baby believer. And I've prayed for him for years. He lives in California. You know what? You can run your mouth about Facebook all you want. It's no different than that dollar bill in your pocket. It's what you do with it that matters. Facebook happens to be a pretty good platform. I can't help what the organizers of it believe. Maybe they'll sit down and listen to one of my messages. But right now, we're preaching to people who couldn't be here today. I sat up there and I watched the number of people. It tells me how many people are coming on, who it is. And these are people that I know do not go to this church. Some of them don't go to church, but yet they're seeing it, they're hearing it. But going back to the initial statement, because of Facebook, I actually came across him. I searched his name and there it was. Sent him a friend request. He remembered me. Ladies and gentlemen, he serves in his church. He has raised his children in the admonition of the Lord. If I hadn't been sorrowful for what I had done, and just chucked it off flippantly, like I'm the only one that I hurt. I hurt a lot of people in their walk. But I was comforted the day that I saw him sharing Jesus on Facebook. Folks, don't think God's not going to move. Scott was able to go and get surrounded by people who loved him. He got his life on track with him. And now he's raising his children. And possibly at this point, grandchildren. I think he had kids before I did. I've been comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek does not mean that you're this tiny little bunny rabbit that's just going to get beat up every time you turn around. Meek does not connotate weakness, but controlled strength. In other words, you have the ability to remove the life of somebody, and yet you don't. It's not a violent person. It is a person who can do violence and yet restrains from doing so. Someone who has power to change things, power to go about and do things that would hurt, and yet they don't. I always like to say, it's kind of like a rabbit. I know a bunch of you in here have had rabbits. And if you've ever had one, you will know that while they look all so soft and cuddly and just so cute, you ever stick your hands in there? One, that's why they put, do not put fingers in cage, the rabbit will bite at the fair. I had three rabbits. They were checker giants. They were big old things. My buck was so big I called him Dog. That was his name. And I'd pick him up, and boy, if he didn't like the way I picked him up, them big old feet he's got on the back with them sharp nails just would chew my arm up. And a rabbit, people think they're just so helpless. I have watched videos of rabbits taking on rattlesnakes. They will fight. But yet that's one of the animals that we think is just so cuddly and so tender. But boy, you corner it and it will fight. So blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You're searching for God. Every fiber in your body is crying out, I need to know who you are. For they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I'm going to tell you right now, I give lots of mercy. I have to, because I need a lot. And I'm going to tell you right now, because I have given mercy, God has given it back to me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure means you're filtering out your garbage that's in your life. Things that, you know, maybe you were taught, maybe things that you weren't taught or self-taught. Anybody ever form an opinion on your own based on something that happened? One time I said, there ain't no good women in church. I'd kind of been led on by a girl. I was mad. My mom said, Well, what about that Angela? I said, Mom, she listens to Sandy Patty. Do you think we're going to get along? You know, I was more Striper, Barron Cross, Bride. Groups that when you went to the concerts, I mean, I wasn't a, what am I looking for, a crazy dresser. You know, I didn't have earrings and purple hair and all this stuff in the 80s. I had the mullet and, you know, but I wore jams and the bright, colorful Hawaiian stuff, which I do love the beach. And anyhow, three of us, my brother-in-law, Bobby, me, and a friend of ours, we went to this Bride concert. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we were the only three normal people in that building. They come out on, the room was only about the size of this. It was called the King's Place down in Reynoldsburg. Tiny little venue, but they would have concerts there all the time. And they were free. But they brought in Bride. Man, they had this song I loved. It was called Hell No. We won't go to hell. No, we won't go. Great song, really. You'd have to hear it if you can handle heavy metal. And they got a stage about this big, but it's only about this high. And everything's flat. And then this guy comes out here, and I'm sitting about, yeah, maybe where Ben's at. And Dale Thompson comes out there. They fill the stage with smoke. He comes out in a black cloak, head to toe, red velvet lined. And you can't see anything. And he just starts screaming. And I'm like, what did I get into? You know, my brother-in-law's got half a roll of toilet paper in each ear. But I'm going to tell you right now, some of that music, especially Bride, those words resonated through my life for years and still do. Because the song Hell No is about being shipwrecked in the middle of one of life's storms. Are you going to hold on to what counts, or are you going to keep trying to grab for everything around that means nothing? But it means we have to get rid of the garbage in our hearts, folks. We have to let God, the hurts, the things that people have done, the mistreatments, you've got to let them go. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. I told you years ago how I had an altercation with a neighbor. And I was like, I'm within my rights. The city said I was within my rights, and I was going to take my rights. Bless God, I'm an American. It's my right. And the voice of God spoke down to me and said, didn't I call you to be a peacemaker? I grumbled the whole time I tore down that retaining wall and moved it 6 inches over. It's all I needed to do. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they so persecuted the prophets who were before you. Folks, persecution we shall receive for believing in God. We're not the first ones. We're not the only ones. The world hated Jesus before it ever hated us. So you can't sit there, well, I mean, you don't know what I'm going through for the gospel's sake. Are you still breathing? Has anybody taken a softball-sized rock and hit you up the side of the head with it? You do realize stonings, they weren't going out and picking up these little inch-and-a-half-sized rocks out of the driveway. Do you know that's still practiced in this world today? And while most of the stonings we see reenacted on Christian television, they show people just getting pelted with a few rocks. Do you understand Paul? They threw enough rocks at Paul and on Paul that they buried him. alive, as it turned out. That's how many rocks. Now, I know all of us maybe at one time in our life have been hit with a rock. A rock coming out of a lawnmower. Well, I tell you what, you might as well be standing in front of a cannon with one of those things. They come out with a vengeance. I had a kid in West Virginia. We were down to, we'd gone to bury my grandfather. And we'd stopped to see my aunt. And I was reminiscing with my brothers and sisters. I was about 16 at the time. And I was saying, you know, I used to play in this ditch. It was carved into the side of the mountain because of the valley where the houses were. I said, I used to play. I was, by the way, I was 2.5 to 3 years old. I told Angela the other day, I said, I was playing in that ditch as a little toddler. I said, there are copperheads and water moccasins down there. I said, and it was just me, a toddler, and a bulldog. But anyhow, this kid from up the road there was up there, and we were talking to him, and all of a sudden, a little turkey picked up a rock and threw it. It was about the size of bait, and the thing bounced off my head. Now, we're talking, it's about 60 feet up, that part of the hill was. I'm not here to tell you right now, that did not feel good. And me, my brother, and my sister, we were flying up, at least I was, flying up that hill. I was going to get that kid, but he wasn't too stupid. He took off running towards home. I'm here to tell you, it's being stoned, it doesn't feel good. Well, they made fun of my fish on my car. They made fun of my cross. They said I was stupid for believing in a God. Yeah, what's new? What's new? You are blessed if they are reviling you. You are blessed if they make fun of you because you believe in God. Because you're in church today. Well, don't you know, man, you could be just, you could sleep in today. You could do whatever you want today. Yes, but we choose to come and worship together the God of creation, because I'm here to tell you the days are getting shorter. They really are. The countdown is beginning. But we are blessed when people come against our faith. We are blessed. That means happy and to be envious. Does anybody ever feel happy and envious when you're being persecuted because you believe in God? No, you don't. Do you know why he said you're blessed? Because your Father is seeing it. And I will tell you right now that as a father, to see my children, they've gone through stuff, I know. Because they didn't get to do this, they didn't do that. But I was blessed when they stood. They stood for what was right. They stood for others. I was blessed. Your Heavenly Father is blessed when you are persecuted for standing for Him. So don't ever think, yeah, you get battle weary. I get that. You get a little tired, right? It's called the fog of war. It is a real thing. You know, it's why we call this war on the floor. If you want to kneel, you kneel at your chair. If you want to come up here, don't worry about me walking. I'll walk around you. I've laid on the platform before. There have been times we've had prayer meetings here before. I have prayed so long that everybody left. I was the only one in here. They all left. I was here for 3 hours. You know what I did? During that time, I left the meeting. We had a classroom back there. You can see how white it was because that's part of the wall. And we were having a meeting for something else in there, and we were having a prayer time. And the Spirit of the Lord rose up on me and said, go out and walk these aisles. I walked. I touched every chair that was in here. I walked for 2 hours at that point, two and a half hours, praying in the Spirit. I prayed over each and every one of these chairs that were out. Why? Because that's what God wanted me to do. Because of all the people that would be coming in here, people that were hurt, people that still had questions. How many of y'all saw the 45 children that were rescued the other day? That was recent. That was like that week. That wasn't the one previous. Do you think this is what's happening when all the people begin to get on board? We've been praying for this for a long time, and we've seen hit people here and there, but now more people are praying for it, and more people are being rescued, and more people are going to prison for it. Yeah. Yeah, that made it, that's how I felt. I was like, wow, that even got their attention. Amen. Amen. So know that God hears your prayers. Know that we're not praying to a statue. That is why there's no cross. I don't want you praying to a cross. Okay? I'm not offended by the cross. The cross had a great work. I think Jesus would be sorely disapproving of us the way we treat a cross. It's no different than a hangman's noose or an electric chair today. It was their form of capital punishment that had been around for 100 years before Jesus. I don't want a cross to represent me. I don't want a fish to represent me. I want my faith. Ancient people searched for God. The Romans even had the Acropolis? They had a statue that said they had all their gods, so they didn't offend any gods. They had a statue thing in the corner that said, to the unknown God. Paul said, that's the one I want to talk to you about. All these others are false gods. We have people going to be praying. I'm going to pray for general healing over this body, because I know some of you have gone through some garbage this week. You're experiencing things, or the devil has been attacking. The fear of COVID is running as high as it's ever been now. People are just getting stupid. And again, listen, if you want to wear a mask, wear it. Okay? Don't think you're saving me from anything. Not worried about it. Well, you ought to be. It's deadly. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll worry about that when you actually get on board with drinking and driving. You get on board with smoking. I've lost more family members from cancer than anything else. Quit supporting people that are just taking your money that you donate to the American Cancer Society for research, and they went out and bought them a brand new McLaren. They live in a 10,000 square foot house because you gave $100 to that fund. I believe they've come across. Do you know they've been able to get 50 miles to the gallon out of a car since the 80s? Possibly earlier? 50 miles a gallon. Rob, what did the volts, was it about 50, wasn't it? 48 to 50. Back when Volkswagen didn't lie about their mileage. We had a car that did 40, and it was a Mercury Marquis, just a gas engine. 44 miles to the gallon. Yeah, well, it was just the 3.8 V6, but I'm here to tell you, money is what you need to be looking at. In your prayer time, pray for the leaders to follow the money and for the trail to be there. That's what you need to find. Because we're the only things moved by money. God's not moved by money. The devil's not moved by money. It's just a tool. It's our greed that we go looking for it. All right. All right, well, we're going to go before the Lord. We're going to be praying for these requests here today. And folks, believe. If you've got something that's really burning in your heart, you pray. Pray. God will answer your prayers. I cannot, what's the word I'm looking for? Emphasize, yeah. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of praying. But I don't have much to say. Well, why don't you start talking to God like he was your friend? Instead of the principal at the school. He's your friend. He's the only one who's got the power to change your life. So let's go before the Lord. We'll pray. And we're going to believe for some good things in this country.